You know, the world tells us that at about 13, kids enter the teenagers, right? But in biblical times, when young boys and girls turned about 13, it was to become adults. They became responsible. They became accountable for their behavior and the way they thought. And so when we gather here as the church, we don't go by society's norms. We go by biblical norms. And so I really appreciate Jake being willing to stand up and read God's word, because we look at the young men and women in this church, and that's exactly what they are. They are men and women. You know, this morning we're going to look at the second half of this passage. Last week we spent quite a bit of time looking at verses 14 to 8, and 4 to 18, and how that not only the preaching but the hearing of the word is so critical. Today I'm going to finish my message with looking at practical applications as to what that means for you and I. So first, I want to take a little time and talk about the parable. Verse 8, if you look in your Bibles, verse 8, it says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, that's the first mention in the parable of hearing. It's a warning that some people hear only with physical ears. They do not have the spiritual ears that Jesus is talking about, to take the word of God into their hearts and their minds and souls and let it impact who they are. And remember, the disciples, after hearing Jesus tell the parable, they asked him what it meant. And we have to, you know, give them some grace, because they hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. This was a time of training for them. For us, we have two advantages over the disciples at this point. One, as believers, we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And two, we have the Word of God that we can read. I mean, all we have to do is just go ahead a few verses, and we know the answers that the disciples sought. And so what's interesting, Jesus answers the disciples by quoting out of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. We looked at that last week. God told Isaiah to tell the people of Israel this. He said, "Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of these people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." See, at this time in history, Israel had hardened their hearts, and the words of God, the Old Testament, no longer led them into a deeper relationship with God. Their hearts had been hardened. And it's also true, as Christ is talking in this parable, the same thing has happened. At the time of Christ, Israel as a nation has moved away from God. They're no longer looking at the Word of God. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes are all teaching legalistic things, but not the heart of what God wanted them to see. And quite frankly, I think it's true this very day. Many churches are no longer looking at the heart of God in His Word. And Luke said, in Luke 8, verse 10 reads, it says, "To you it has been given, to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." This is the second reference in this passage to the ability to hear. So some hear spiritually, and the secrets of God's kingdom are revealed to them, and others only hear with physical ears. But the impact that we see from this parable, when you hear only with physical ears, your heart is actually hardened against God. And so, just as it was too late, or in some ways the time had run out for Israel in Isaiah's time, it's true in Jesus' time as well. It's certainly true today. All through the scriptures, one of the things we see, not even the entire country of Israel was able to come to true faith in God. The scriptures never teach the world comes to God. It always teaches there is a remnant. And this is what Jesus is teaching here. And then we have to realize, for some, there are two judgments. There's the judgment on this earth as well as in eternity. I mean, Paul's writing to the Romans helps us understand this. He said, therefore, God gave them up to their lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what they ought not to do. So, see, these people of the world do not hear with spiritual ears. So the thing we have to ask ourselves then, do the teachings of the Bible, do the parables like the parable here of the sower, do they penetrate our hearts and souls? Do they help us understand God and the Son better? Do they make sense to us? Do they impact our lives? See, this is the difference between hearing with physical ears and spiritual ears. The issue is how we hear. We can see in each of these four soils that each soil is described differently and it has a different type of hearing. Hearing is mentioned in each of those verses, 12 through 15. And in verse 12, poor hearing allows Satan to take the word away. In verse 13, the shallow hearing enables the trials of this world to destroy the Word of God. And in verse 14, a partial hearing is drowned out by the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this world because they impact and have more noise and more volume than God's Word. And so God's Word's choked out. Finally, in verse 15, there's the hearing of the Word with, it says, a good and honest heart. A spiritual heart. The Word of God then goes into the heart and it bears fruit because believers have perseverance. So the issue is hearing. How one hears the preaching of the Word of God is key. Last week I passed over verses 16 and 17. At a first glance, they don't seem like they belong with this parable. But they do. Let me read those to you. Beginning in verse 18. Let me read verse 18 first. Take care how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. So the conclusion then in verse 18 is saying that if you have spiritual ears and a good and honest heart, you will receive the Word of God. You will understand. Your life will be impacted. You will become fruitful for the kingdom. But on the other hand, if your soil is not good, if you only have physical ears, then even what you think you possess, it will be taken away from you by the devil. In verse 12, it says it's taken away by the devil. In verse 13, by the world. In 14, the worries and riches and pleasures of the world, all because those things come under the influence of the prince of this world. How one hears is a critical issue. It has literally eternal consequences. Look at the end of verse 12, if you would. It says, so that they may not believe and be saved. What Jesus is making clear there, if you do not hear the Word of God with your spiritual ear, if you do not have a good and honest heart, if you are not doing that, will not be saved. It says that they may not believe. So no matter what many churches who call themselves Christians say, if they are teaching a gospel different than the gospel of the Bible, if they're teaching a Christ that's different from the Christ of the Bible, if they're teaching a God that's different from the God of the Bible, then what they've done is told people they have salvation when they don't. They've damaged people. And this is why the Word is so important. Jesus says, no matter what anybody else says, Jesus says in John, He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Me. So to come to the Father, one must come through Jesus. He's the only way. And to come to God through Jesus means if you believe in Jesus, you accept His Word, the Word of God given to us to tell us who God is and who we are in God. If you say you believe in the Bible, but yet you don't want to live what the Bible teaches, then do you really believe? And let's be honest, hearing with a spiritual ear is not our natural state, because we are broken sinners. It is a gift from God when He regenerates our soul. But here's the thing. Once God has regenerated you, once you have surrendered and say you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you say you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to actively work at surrendering yourself to the Holy Spirit. Because quite frankly, it's not our natural state to do that. We want to be in charge. And so when we do that, though, that's when God allows one to become fruitful for His kingdom. Now let's go back to verses 16 and 17. I've included them in this parable of the soils, which ends in verse 18. And I don't believe they were wedged in there between the verses 15 and 18 just haphazardly. I think Luke put them there for a reason. I think Jesus wanted them there for a reason. And so I think they should be included. So let me read those. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on the stand so that those who enter may see. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known come to light. See, what Jesus is saying here is that verse 16 is tied to verse 15. Jesus is saying that bearing fruit that we see in verse 15, that fruit is actually the light that we see in verse 16. The light has the purpose of helping people see their way to enter the kingdom of God. I mean, this shouldn't be surprising, should it? As a believer, faith then produces good works. And good works are meant to glorify God. And when we glorify God through works based on faith, we become a light to the dark world. And so Paul wrote to the believers in Colossae and he says, here's what we are to do as believers. We are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Bearing good works based on faith. Earlier, Luke said in chapter 3 that as believers, we are to bear fruits in keeping with repentance. You can't do good works if you don't have a repentant heart. You can't do good works that are pleasing to God if it's not built on faith. good works are founded on faith and meant to bring glory to God. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus makes this clear that good works are light. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good work and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So believing the word of God with a good and honest heart produces both faith. Faith produces fruit, and fruit then becomes the light of God to the dark world. Bearing fruit for the kingdom is doing good deeds for the right reasons. Our lives, your life, my life, are supposed to be lived for the primary purpose of glorifying God. And as we live with a desire to glorify God, to come close to God, to our Lord Jesus Christ, the natural result is we become a light to the dark world. Not that the world always likes that light, but we become a light. And this is why it's so important how we hear the Word of God. What we hear, how we take it in and let us affect us. Jesus in verse 10 speaks of the hiddenness of the gospel. He says, "For others, they are parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." See, because those without spiritual ears cannot hear and understand the gospel. But that's not supposed to keep you. It didn't keep the disciples, so why should it keep us or you from proclaiming and living the gospel as believers of Jesus Christ? Because it tells us in verse 10 also it says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom." So the problem is some Christians look at the secrets of the kingdom and think they're supposed to keep them secret. We're supposed to take those secrets that God reveals to us and we're to take them to the world. It is not our responsibility whether people accept those or reject them. That is God's. But our responsibility is we are supposed to take them out to the world. Verses 16 and 17 make this calling very clear. Verse 16, again, it says, "No one, after lighting the lamp, covers it with a jar." So when God lights the lamp of your soul with His Holy Spirit and His Word, you're not supposed to put a jar over it. You're not supposed to put it under the bed. You're not supposed to keep it secret. You're supposed to put it on a stand. Your life is supposed to be a light to the world. It says, "So those who may enter can see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest." If you try to hide your light that God has given you, He will make it shine somewhere else. His plan cannot be thwarted by the efforts of men. Nor, it says, is anything secret that will not be known and come to the light. So the question is then one of obedience. Do we live obedient? Do we be that light shining out into the world no matter what the consequences? Or does the fact that we believe in Jesus Christ become one of the greatest secrets in our life that nobody knows? Because we live in fear. So, see, God is saying one of the primary reasons His secrets are revealed is so that they will penetrate our hearts and our minds and build our faith. And upon that faith, then we become servants who do good works to please our God. And our good works become the light into a dark world. It's that simple. Jesus said it another way, giving His followers as the children of God. He says, we are to live this way. He says, "So have no fear to them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed." So, I mean, what's the worst this world can do? It takes your life. And then you're in heaven. Well, it doesn't get much better than that. You know, and so they can't take away your salvation. All you have to do is read about the many great heroes of our faith. See, God reveals things to you for a purpose. And then it says in verse 27, it says, "What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops." Jesus taught the truth and the light of God so that we who live in a dark world, a broken world, can shout who He is from the housetops. And what happened when Jesus came? The world had what the Bible teaches us is the prince of the world, the evil one. When Jesus came, that darkness ended. Light came into the world. And it will finally end when He returns. And then in verse 28 it says, "And do not fear those who can kill the body, because they cannot kill your soul. But rather, here is what you should fear. You should fear Him who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell." I know a lot of churches don't preach about hell, but there's nothing wrong with a healthy fear of hell, because it's a terrible place and eternity is forever. And so those that you care about in your life, those that you love, your family, friends, people you work with, do you really want them to be condemned to eternity in hell? Well, you can't control whether they accept Christ or not, but you can control whether they hear about Christ or not. You can control whether they see Christ in your life. So those who have spiritually dead ears, like in the first three soils of this parable, their souls will die, not only here, but eternally in heaven. So here's what the parable of souls is teaching, I believe. Not only your salvation and your fruitfulness depends on how you hear the Word of God, but success of how the Word of God spreads throughout the world also is dependent upon you and I. I mean, this is what verse 18 says. It begins with, it says, "Take care how you hear." How the church hears the Word of God, the pure Word of God, the true Word of God, is important. It is a high calling to our salvation that we are to be fruit bearers because we have spiritual ears to hear. Remember Jesus' words. He said, "Let your light shine before others so they may see your good work and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Hearing builds faith. Faith produces good works for the glory of God. Good works shine God's light into the dark world. And God gives His light to those people who hear Him. So then, one of the things I want to end with this morning is, how then should we, you and me, prepare ourselves to hear the Word of God faithfully, and so we can proclaim it? So I want to finish this morning. I'm going to give, I think there's 10 of them, I forgot to count. But I'm going to give you some practical applications that I think you, and I, it was convicting for me as well, should pay attention to, so we can prepare and look at how to better hear God's Word, how to deepen our faith. And so I hope as I go through these 10 quickly, you'll write them down and you'll take some notes. And then you'll discuss them among yourselves, among other brothers and sisters in Christ, among the families. And you can talk about them and flesh them out in a little more detail. Because, see, I don't have the time to really go into great detail of each of these. So I'm asking you to do it. And I'm asking you to look at doing the things throughout the week, Monday through Saturday, that help prepare you for Sunday. I mean, for me, Saturday evening is very important. and then having time Sunday morning before I head to church is also important. So one of the first things I want you to look at is prayer. Not just that little quick prayer while you're in the car and saying, "Oh, help Aunt Susie because she's sick." I'm talking about heartfelt prayer. And by the way, when you pray in your car, please, you know, be careful. Don't close your eyes. I've had that problem before and it's scary. But, you know, I want you to spend time, because then God will speak into your good and your honest heart, as it says in verse 15. The world wants to keep our heart as our old heart. They don't want us to have a heart that loves God. You know, and time and prayer seeking God then helps mold our mind and our heart, and it helps change us. And one of the other things it does for me, it gives me a love for people that I think are pretty unlovable. And you know, there are people I need to pray for. And sometimes, to be honest, I just don't want to pray for them. But when I start, my heart and mind changes. And as one grows closer to God, then as the prophet Ezekiel wrote, he says, "This God will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." This is basically what Jesus was teaching in Luke, not a spiritual ear. I mean, not a physical ear, but a spiritual ear, not a physical heart that just pumps blood through your body, but the spiritual heart that he'll give you. Someone asked me this week if I would pray for them in the spirit. And I had to think about that. I mean, because my thought is, if I am praying, how could I not be in the spirit? Do I have to have this special thing that I go, "Okay, I'm going to be in the spirit now"? Because we should be living in the spirit, shouldn't we? And so I was a little confused by his request, and I had to think through that. And so my thought is, I mean, if I'm not praying in the spirit, then it's really not prayer and communication with God. And so prayer is supposed to be heartfelt. Now, I know some religions teach prayers that you just say in rote. You just, you know, well, I'm not talking about that kind of prayer that you just memorize and you say, and there's not really a whole lot of impact. There's not a whole lot of effort in it, right? I'm talking about prayer you're actually engaged in. I don't understand why you would pray if you're not engaged with God. And as I thought about this, then I thought about what the prophet Jeremiah said. He said, "God will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart." So if I'm one of God's people, how can I not have a heart for God? You know, and so we need to spend time and energy. Now, we have young adults in this audience. Remember, and then those of us that are a little older, remember back when we were younger, the energy and effort we put in trying to have a relationship with that special person, how much energy I put in trying to get to know Joyce and date her. Why would we put anything less into our relationship with God? How are we going to have that intimate relationship with God if we don't put time and energy and effort into it? So often in my prayer, one of the things I've been praying lately is, "Lord, give me a heart for you. Give me a humble and meek heart, a servant's heart, a fruitful heart, a heart that seeks you above all else." Because if I'm not doing that, then everything else in my prayer is not going to be worth a whole lot, is it? The second thing I want us to think about is meditation. We have read through the Bible in a year, right? And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But it's not a race to get through the Bible. We should be each week taking pieces of the Bible and reading it so we can pray over it and meditate over it and concentrate over it and trying to say, "God, what are you trying to teach me here?" And let it then impact our heart and our mind. So I was thinking, you know, because obviously you can look at me, I like to eat. What's the purpose of an appetizer? I was thinking this week, well, isn't the purpose of an appetizer, it gives you a taste and then excites you and it increases your hunger and it makes you look forward to the meal, the big deal, right? The meal. And so if Sunday's sermon is supposed to be the meal, the Word of God that feeds your soul, shouldn't you be meditating throughout the week so you get those little appetizers to whet your aroma and make you want to hear the Word of God? And who knows, if you start partaking in appetizers during the week of God's Word, then you may want a meal before you even get here on Sunday. And you may spend more time in God's Word and go deeper. But see, the whole thing that Jesus is telling us in this parable, take care how you hear. Don't take Scripture out of context. Don't try to bend Scripture to what you want. Take Scripture as God's given it to us and what He wants us to hear. So meditate on Scripture during the week and do it with your spiritual ear so that your mind, your soul will be penetrated and changed. And this next one was really convicting for me. Purify. You need to purify your mind all through the week. And I think sometimes for me that means worldly entertainment. James wrote, he said, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So I'm not saying don't watch TV or watch a movie. I enjoy movies. But what I'm saying, we need to be more careful what we put into our minds. And this is an area I need to work on. I mean, because to be honest with you, by nighttime, when nighttime comes, I'm tired and vegging out and watching a movie is an easy thing for me. And it's appealing. But I also need to be careful what movies I watch. And, you know, the world is producing more and more filth because it wants to take our mind off of the right things, the righteousness of God. And so, you know, this is something Joyce has been talking with me and stuff. We need to spend time, a few minutes in the Word of God before we go to sleep, because then hopefully our dreams are about our amazing God and not about some, you know, thriller where people get blown up. See, Paul said in Philippians, he said, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So I'm going to try working on that even better. This will move you then, I hope, from wanting those little appetizers that I talked about of God into wanting the full meal, wanting to know God's Word from its depths. Then the other thing is trust. Trust in the truth of God. If you think about it, if the Bible is true, it is it's true eternity past, it's true eternity future, and we have no problem as Christians when people say, I don't know if I believe that. I have serious questions. We say, great, let's go to the Scriptures and see. All the other religions say, no, you can't ask questions. Just accept. See, but God wants you to dig deep. You know, remember the second soil in the parable, there was no root because there was no depth. See, God wants us to go deep. The prophet Jeremiah said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of the drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." You're going to have droughts in your life. You're going to have difficulties in your life. That's just part of the world. But you can be like this tree when you dig deep and have a deep root into the Word of God. And so, you know, you need to understand, if you can find something that's false in the Bible, then the Bible can't be true. I've tried. I can't find it. The Word of God is true. Then next, I want you to think about rest. I mean, we all have busy lifestyles, and quite frankly, I'll tell you, it's hard for me to focus on God and take on the fiery darts of this world when I'm tired. It takes more discipline to go to bed on time so you will have the right amount of rest than it does to get up on time. How many of us have gone to bed late, but we get up at the right time and then we're tired all day? Now, Saturday night's an important time for me because I need to get ready for Sunday. I get up Sunday morning at 4:30 to begin to prepare to come here. So you can probably imagine what time I have to go to bed. And, you know, planning for Sunday morning is important. You need time to eat. I cannot get up here and preach if I haven't had a breakfast. And I got to have coffee. Coffee is important to me. You know, that's a critical thing. You have to have time to get dressed. But it doesn't end here. You also need time to pray and to meditate and prepare your heart and mind for church. And parents need to learn to teach their children that Saturday night can be a fun time, but you shouldn't allow your children to play video games until the late night or go out on dates and stay out really late at night. And then they're too tired to come to church and hear the Word of God. Parents who do not teach their children these balances and how to control their lives are not doing them any favors. See, in fact, I think it's a terrible thing to teach your children not to have boundaries, not to have limits, and not to organize their life in a way that'll please the Lord. Remember what it says. Take heed how you hear and then how your light will shine before this dark world. Then I think the other thing we have to work on is being at peace. I mean, my family has gotten a little smaller in the sense that my children have grown up and moved out, and it's just Joyce and I in the house. But there's times there's conflict, and I need to be better at seeking to have peace within my family, with other brothers and sisters in Christ. I need to work at not being offended so easily. Because if we go through these things during the week, especially on Saturday night, it affects you on Sunday. I mean, let me ask you, have you ever, on your way to driving to church, ended up in an argument? Well, I have. You know why? Because Satan doesn't want me to have my focus on Christ. He doesn't want me to have my focus for the morning service and for time with Him. See? So, conflicts, unresolved conflicts, unright conflicts, will take away your ability to hear the Word of God. I mean, we need to come to church and not pretend there's no problems. That's the reason we're supposed to pray for each other. And church is supposed to be a safe place to come, right? And we all have weaknesses, and my weakness is not your weakness, and your weakness isn't mine. We're to help each other. But, you know, we need to probably think about how we could take the log out of our eye before we start doing surgery on the speck of somebody else's eye. And we need to know that if we do that, it'll help us have compassion. You know, people need compassion more than they need punishment. Correction is very different than punishment. And And so we need to listen to each other. And that's the other thing I found in my life. It's amazing if I could just quell my anger a little bit and listen better, how it God changes my attitude. And then how many things can be resolved. Again, how we hear. Well, physically, God gave us two ears. So I was always told as a child, we have two ears because we're supposed to listen twice as much as we speak with our one mouth. Right. And I need to work on that always because it's not about me. Often it's about the other person. And then we have to have an attitude and a spirit of meekness and a desire to be teachable. You know, I'm not saying come to church and whatever the preacher preaches, accept. I'm not saying be gullible, because all teaching of the word must be valued, must be looked at from the Word of God, because the Word of God doesn't change. Remember, James taught that the hearing the word with an open heart, he said in James 1:21 that we should do it with meekness of the implanted word. So, you know, even if you think you know all the answers, you should come to the church with an open heart, because you might learn something new. I learn new things every week as I study and prepare. Sometimes I'm amazed that I haven't seen things before. But then God opens the heart, eyes of my heart and the ears of my soul, and I learn new things. So in church, we need to have humble hearts. Because when we hear the word, if we open our hearts to it, it will impact our lives and change us. And then in our world, I think, or at least in my world, this is a big one. Learn to be still. We live in such a fast, busy world. It's crazy sometimes. You know, when we were meeting in the community center, sometimes we had some issues and problems because when people came in it, they saw it as a community center. They didn't see it as a holy place of God where we were going to worship and have church. But now we have this new place that we can say is our place of worship, where we can come and focus on God. And this is where we, when we come into this building, we should begin to separate ourselves from the word world and prepare for worship. It's not a time for horseplay. I'm not saying don't have fellowship, don't see each other and care about each other and visit with it. But it's not a place for horseplay. It's a place to separate from the world and hear the word of God. And when it's over, we will re-enter the world. And hopefully then you've been given some strength and power to go back into the world and be a light in the world as God says we're to be a light. And when you share with other people, you should be able to say, yes, come to our church because it's a place that is safe. It's a place where people love other people. And it's a place where the word of God is imminent. It has the center stage. And this is the reason on our worship music. You know, we don't have a huge band. It's not a performance. Basically, the way I see music, like Cheryl and Joyce did today, it is prayer to music. We're opening our hearts. We're preparing our minds. You know, remember what the psalmist wrote? He said, "Be still and know that I am God." See, if you want to know God intimately, then you need to be able to be still and know who He is. And then it continues and it says, "If we're still and we know God, then we will be able to exalt God among the nations." This is our job. This is supposed to be who we are, whether it's here in the East Mountains or in New Mexico or in the world. We're supposed to be exalting God to all that will listen. And then it ends. It says the Lord of hosts is with us. You know, when we come to church, do you think that God is out there in the universe floating around somewhere? I mean, He did create the whole universe, so He could, I guess. But no. The whole Bible teaches us that God is here with us. He's here. He's in this room. So we're supposed to be still. We're supposed to think deeply. We're supposed to try to see what God wants us to learn. You know what verses I'm going to teach on before Sunday comes. Most of the time. You could go ahead and read those before Sunday and prepare to hear them. So hopefully you'll have a foundation for them. And then you need to contemplate. See, as the worship time starts, don't think about the football score. Don't think about, like I found out late yesterday, Joyce's brake light is out and I got to replace it. Those aren't the things to think about. What we're supposed to think about is the words to the songs we sing, the word of God that is preached. Paul instructed, he says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Don't be distracted by all these things while you're here. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. Hearing without contemplating what you're hearing means that you're not going to truly understand. You're not going to give it the effort and energy it needs. Paul told Timothy, his spiritual son, he said, Timothy, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And then accept the truth. Desire to seek the truth of God's word because it is the only eternally true thing. With that, I love what the psalmist said. He said, if we really want God, then we should desire God more than gold, even much more than refined gold, sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by the words of God, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. And since the Bible is God's gift to mankind, it's to teach us who He is and who we are in Him, we should desire God more than anything. In Proverbs, it says, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is where our effort should be, not just on Sunday mornings. So, my beloved, I want God to make us a people who hear the Word of God. And because we hear it with spiritual ears, we bear fruit 100-fold. And our lamps then will shine because our lives are working to walk in step with God. Our lampstand will give light to the dark world. And because of that, you never know, someone may enter the kingdom of God because they saw your heart and how you hear. Take heed how you hear. The Word of God should be the center of everything we do. And His Word, His divine Word, unchanged, our job is to accept it and to live it. Father, I thank You for this time in Your Word. I ask that we can take some of these practical applications and put them into our lives, that we can change how we walk through each and every day, because this is a difficult, tough world. And so, Father, help us. And help us help each other. We are family. We are Your children. And we love You with all of our hearts. And that's the reason we can cry out, Abba, Father, we love You. Amen.